It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with Austin O'Neill, our producer here at Mostly Motorsports. We are in the Racing Boys studio today. Tomorrow, I will be at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. We will be up there live Thursday, Friday, and Saturday morning this week. So looking forward to getting up there and hanging out with Bob Baker at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Went to the races last night. We went out and watched the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour out at Lakeside Speedway. I'm just going to say I was a little disappointed in the crowd last night. I thought there'd be a bigger crowd last night. Unfortunately, not so much. And I think that has a lot to do with the hot weather that we have that's going on right now. A lot of people don't want to get out and suffer in this heat wave that we have through the Midwest right now. Austin, how are you doing today?
All right.
Just all right?
Yep. Another Wednesday.
Well, how about that race last night? Was that pretty good?
That was pretty good. I'll be honest. I pretty much wrote off that, you know,
Blake was going to win?
No, that Covington had it locked up, you know, just past halfway. I didn't think that, and the way the race was trending, that everybody was kind of strung out and that we wouldn't have a yellow, in which we didn't. And I didn't really think that the live traffic would have affected, you know, Matt's lead like it did and kind of helped Blake a little bit. I didn't think that would happen. And I was wrong. And, you know, we see a pretty good finish.
I'm sorry. I'm having a coughing attack right now. I need to take a drink of water. Well, not only was I a little disappointed last night with the attendance of the crowd, but I was a little disappointed in the car count last night. 20 cars last night.
Yeah.
But I got to be fair when I say this. I think a lot of that has to do, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong, Austin, but I think a lot of people don't want to tear their stuff up before the 360 Nationals, right? They've got their car together. They've got it all massaged up. They've got it the way they want it. They're prepared for the ASCS 360 Nationals up at Knoxville Raceway, and they just don't want to tear up the car. Would you agree with me on that?
They don't want to tear their car up, and most of these guys put a new motor in for this race. And,
right.
You know, going out there and sticking, 45 to 50 laps on it,
right,
isn't really going to help you. You know, you want to go up there with something fresh and you know, put, you know, maybe 100, 110 laps on it by the end of the weekend, not 160. So it's, you know, you think of that too. And look, for the guys that run ASCS, they just ran them through. Granted, they didn't get to race, but three or four races of sprint
They just
week.
Come off the speed week.
Yeah, and that was, that's tough. I mean, it's to run that, have a weekend off, to get turned right back around for a Tuesday night show,
yep,
then have Wednesday off, and then go run the Nationals, you know, that's just tough to do. And, you know, the Nationals is the biggest race of the year, and
right,
and guys want to prepare for it and get their stuff right to have a shot. And, you know, don't get me wrong, everybody comes up from, well, majority of these cars that aren't from Knoxville drive right by Lakeside and go race Knoxville, and
right.
And it's a no-brainer to stop there, but it's not the best time to do it. Maybe you can catch them on the way back home from Knoxville.
The guys that are running for points are the guys that are going to show up at Lakeside,
and that's exactly what we saw.
Right. I don't have any problem with the car count last night. It was a full field of cars. They had 20 cars. They ran the feature. I get it, David. I understand what you're saying. It was a national event. But at the same time, it's the 2 days away from the start of the ASCS 360 Nationals at Knoxville. And there's not many people that are going to jeopardize their equipment going to Lakeside, tearing up their equipment, and causing them not to run the 360 Nationals. And if people don't understand that, I don't get it, right? I understand that people want to see more cars. I get that. Everybody wants to see more cars. I would have liked to have seen, I think last year we had 27 cars.
26. I'm looking at the
26
the car count right now, and you know, there's a handful of guys that you don't see on the list just because of them just, you know, moving on to go race, you know, other series or other, you know, other opportunities. Like, you know, we had Sam was there last year, JJ right. Hickel, the Hill cars, both Hill cars were there.
Right.
You had some Oregon cars, some Pennsylvania cars, Washington car, and then you had a couple cars from New Mexico, and yeah, I mean, it's...
Let me. You would have been there last night if your motor would have been together, right?
I get that. Yes, but I wasn't racing the Nationals too. So I mean, right. I have. It doesn't matter if I'm racing the was gonna race the Nationals or was planning on it anyways. Cause I wasn't gonna be there, you know.
Right. Lloyd says I thought a full field was 24 cars. I guess I've been mistaken. I think 20 cars is a full field. Don't you think, Austin? Do you have a problem with that 20-car field?
A full field's 24 cars.
It is?
You got 23 cars, not a full field. There's still one spot sitting there open.
I think 20 cars is enough. Now, granted, I would have loved to seen 30 cars out there. Anybody would have, right? Anybody would have liked to see more cars. I get that. But I think between the heat... And the 360 Nationals, that kept people from going, sitting in the grandstands, and I think that kept people from wanting to race as well. Would you agree with that?
Also, too, I mean, it's a Tuesday night in Kansas City. You know,
it is a Tuesday.
It's not a Friday night. It's on a Saturday night. It's
not on the track's natural date.
Yeah, it's not a lot of people are going to go out there on a Tuesday night to go. You know, go watch that and have to get up to go to work tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, it was the Tuesday after 360 Nationals. I think 28 cars checked in. I think that's about right. Yeah. I think we typically average with that race. Now, in the past, just so you know, Racing Boys has been co-promoter with Terry Maddox on this race. This year, we were not. We chose not to promote any more races, Kirk and I have. And to be honest with you, that race never makes a lot of money. Never makes a lot of money. I know. I've been there, done it, been there many a times, promoted. I don't know how many races we've promoted out at Lakeside.
In 2018, it was in May, that the National Tour was at Lakeside, and there was 30 cars.
In May. Right.
The last August race was in 2020, but if you remember right, that was night one of Sprint Week, or Speed Week, whichever one you like to call it, and there was 38 cars.
Right.
But you had a lot of cars coming out of town to come run, you know, the Speed Week deal, so that kind of, you know, pumped up the number.
My twin brother from a different mother, Tommy Hahn, just said the timing isn't perfect for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. Chad, he chimes in. He says, I think tires and fuel are still keeping some guys at home at certain times. Would you agree with that? You think tires, people don't want to burn up the tires? They thought that maybe they might burn up too many tires and they want to make sure they have enough tires when they go up to Knoxville? You think that's a possibility?
I mean, that's always a possibility. Right now, you just got to be conservative on what you have. And yeah, I mean, I'm not sure of anybody around here that did that. But, you know, we see it all the time with late model racing. So, yeah, I mean, that's definitely has a play in it. I'm not sure how many cars that affected, but, you know, I definitely think it could
affect. Financially, some people don't want to go because they just can't afford it, right?
Yeah.
I would think that there's a few teams out there that wanted to run that race, but they just financially couldn't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility, too.
Mm-hmm. Where was Garrett Williamson last night? David asked that.
Sitting at home, waiting for the Nationals to come around.
See, there's a great example right there.
Garrett built a brand new car to go test at Knoxville last Saturday, put one race on it, and it's going to bring it back out for his qualifying night.
Right, right. But that didn't make that race was still an exceptional race last night, wasn't it? I mean, Blake Hahn was so far behind. Listen, at the start of that race, I think Blake fell back to fifth, sixth, maybe, right? And he worked his way up through the field. And on that last lap, I don't know how he did it, but he made the biggest run down the back straightaway and passed the leader coming off of turn four, Matt Covington, for the win. What'd you think of that race?
Blake didn't do anything different. Blake did the same thing he's doing every lap, the past 12, 13 laps.
Mm-hmm.
Who made the mistake was Matt Covington. Matt was following Landon and Britt, and normally Matt was kind of running the same line where he'd entered, you know, above the hole into one, came across the track, and exited off the bottom. And, you know, for some reason, Matt committed to the top or just missed his mark on getting across the track, and he got free kind of like in the center, and then he caught the slick. You know, Lakeside's always known for getting really slick off of two, just the way the kind of the sun sets and the way the track's kind of positioned. Mm-hmm. You know, and relative to the sunset, it always gets really slick, and he got the car straight before he got to the slick again, and he got to the slick and he kind of backed him up into the cushion, and it just killed all of his momentum. And here's Blake, who never, you know, bailed off his line, had a monster run and just capitalized off a mistake.
Right. It was kind of crazy the way Blake was running turn one and two. He would go in high, and there was a little dip up there at the top of turn one, right? He got just above that, and then he would turn the car and make that straightaway so long. And, man, he was making great momentum down the back straightaway, wasn't he?
He was, and you know, it's anytime you can make your straightaway longer than anybody else, it's gonna pay off,
right?
So yeah, it's just we've seen that line work at Lakeside here in the past couple of years, and I don't know if it's something that they're doing with track prep that's making it work that good.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's putting on some pretty good racing, and you know, we always see a hole getting into three and always a hole getting into one, just the way the water drains. And, you know, that hole was, it kind of moves around a little bit, but it was in the perfect spot last night. And it just, I mean, I was kind of concerned with the track surface after hot laps. It was kind of dusty and a little slick, and I'm like, man, it's not going to be a good night. And I really didn't have much hope for the race. And, yeah, I was, you know, wrong about that, really.
Right. Do you think the 360 car count is coming down? Max just chimed in here, Max Grogan. He said there are not that many 360 cars in Kansas City. Do you feel that that's the case? I think there
in Kansas City, there's hardly any.
There's hardly any. You're about the only one,
I'm
right?
Really the only one. You get some more as you kind of go out towards St. Louis,
Columbia
area.
Max has one.
Yeah. But, you know, hardcore Kansas City, no. But, you know, the biggest thing that, you know, we're seeing here in Missouri is there's just, we've lost our home track, really, for 360 racing. That's the Lake. You know, the Lake had a spell where the track was just awful, and it tore a lot of stuff up, and it made a lot of people mad, and everybody kind of left. And
bailed out.
And went different directions, either 410 racing or committed to a different series or you know, whatever else they did with their time and money, and the Lake just assumed that nobody wanted to be a part of their program and dropped us. And, you know, we lost a track that we would visit, you know, 2 to 3 times a month with the Warrior region, to where we hardly ever go back. And the Warrior region just kind of lost its, you know, backing and full timers and some of the tracks they would go to. And it just all kind of falling apart. I really don't know, you know, was the Lake the main cause of it? Maybe, but it's not. I think there's more reasons to it, and yeah, it's just, you know, now you add in the 410 Power I series, and it's just pulling more cars away, and we're just seeing 360 racing you know, kind of falling back again.
It's fizzling out a little bit, right? Do you think because Kenny Brown started a 410 series that he took his attention away from 360s? Do you think that 410 racing is making a resurgence back, coming back a little bit? We see it with the All-Stars, the World of Outlaws, Power Eye now. Do you think that, I hate to say this, as much as I love 360 racing, and I love 360 racing as much as anybody, that it doesn't pay enough, does it?
It does not pay enough.
Right.
It doesn't. It's, you know, it's hard to go up there and you look at Kenny Brown's Power Eye 410 deal. It pays $5,000 to win, and, you know, I'm not sure what it pays to start, but it pays couple extra $100 more than 360 racing, and it's just, yes, it costs more to do it, but there's just more money around it, and there's just, you know, more opportunities to go racing, and it's just, you know, pulling guys away.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit. It kind of shaked up the points a little bit after last night. Going into last night, Wayne Johnson had a 19-point lead over Blake Hahn. Wayne finished sixth last night. Blake wins the race. Now Blake is 9 points ahead. Tim Crawley is 48 points behind in third. This is shaping up to be a good points battle, wouldn't you think, between Crawley, Wayne Johnson, and Blake Hahn?
Yeah, I think if how far is Matt out of the points?
Matt is 106 points out. He's still within reach.
If Matt can kind of keep his momentum up that he's had here recently,
because he's been fast,
he might be able to knock that number down. But, you know, we're seeing Wayne still fight his injury and have issues with it, and then we're seeing Tim Crawley get really good right now after Speed Week, and now we're seeing Blake, you know, kind of get the ball back rolling and find his speed again. He was really fast in Speed Week, but just, you know, had some bad luck and
right.
And finally, you know, got the first win down, and now everything is just going to be kind of how it was last year, I feel like. Just, you know, back to doing what you do. And, yeah, I could see this being a pretty good 3-4-way points battle at the end of the year.
Yeah, I do too. Now, Wayne Johnson won at Devil's Bowl, Boot Hill, and I-70, and I-30. Tim Crawley has won at Batesville and Tulsa Speedway. So there's the two guys that are chasing Blake Hahn right now. What do you think the chances are of Tim Crawley or Matt Covington getting back into this race? Do you think it's a real possibility? Tim Crawley 48 out, 106 points out is Matt Covington.
I think Crawley has a better shot than Covington does.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you can make up some if one guy has a bad night and Covington goes out there and wins.
Right.
Let's say you know one of those top three have a bad night. He can make up some good points. I think he can make up, you know, right around, you know, 100 or so points a night if a guy, you know, wins and finishes last. So yeah, I mean, you can never count it out until it's over. But you know, we still have, you know, a lot of racing left. The 360 Nationals will play a big effect, you know, into seeing what the rest of the year looks like.
Yeah. My gut says that it's really going to boil down to Crawley, Johnson, and Hahn battling for the win, for the championship. As much as I really like Bill and Matt Covington a lot, but they're going to need some help along the way. They're going to need Blake Hahn, Wayne Johnson, Tim Crawley to have a couple little stumbling blocks along the way. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, and that's all it takes is, you know, someone to have a bad night and everything gets turned around. You know, we still have, like I said, you have a handful of races left. You got some big events coming up. You know, Lucas Oil will be a you know, a big weekend for some certain drivers if they can put it all together and make some points back up. You know, that's, you got a lot of cars and an opportunity of not making the show, you know, possibly, you know, every night and, you know, really shaking up the point standing. So yeah, I mean, they're gonna need a lot to get there, but I definitely think it's still possible.
Do you think Jason Martin, he's fifth in points right now. He's 123 points out of the lead. I figured Jason was going to be right in the middle of this point battle. But he's right now fifth. He's a current rookie with the Luxol ASCS National Sprint Car Tour. He's 123 points out. He doesn't have a win this year. Can he get back into this championship battle, do you think, at 123 points out?
I'm not sure. You know, he's had some bad luck. He had a pretty hard crash down in Louisiana.
Yep.
That kind of hurt him in the standings, and then he had a crash down there at Tulsa. And he's just, you know, hasn't had a good string of races here recently, but he's been fast. So you saw him running, you know, the top
three. He's always fast.
You saw him running in the top three, but, you know, he kind of is there early in the feature, then maybe kind of fades back to the top five, you know, lower or upper top ten, you know, later in the feature. So, I mean, I think you would need to see him pick up some wins and, mm-hmm. and some really consistent top three runs to get back in it. But, yeah, I mean, we all kind of assumed that he would be right there, and he showed the speed early in the year. But, like I said, he's just kind of ran into some bad luck here, you know, in the summer months.
Right. Tommy pointed out that Knoxville is show-up points only.
Yeah, I forgot.
I don't like that either, to be honest with you. You know, as much as I hate to say this, if Knoxville can't make that a legit ASCS National Tour points race, I'm not sure I would sanction that race. Am I wrong by saying that? I think that Knoxville needs to run, get rid of the H's, run the tire that the ASCS National Tour runs, and just run a regular, fully sanctioned Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour race. That'll never happen, though.
Yeah,
never.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
We were close a couple years ago. We thought that they were going to do that. We thought they were going to take away the H and run the ASCS tire, but it didn't happen. At the last minute, they changed their mind.
I just wish every series had the same tire.
You and me both, bud. Yeah, for sure.
Because honestly, if you're a 360 guy and you want to go run a 410 race, let's say with the Outlaws or the All-Stars.
Right.
I do not want to go out there and
spend
thousands of dollars and buying H right rears or even H left rears. If you're solely an RD12 left rear car, now you're just going to be sitting there buying, you know, a ton of rear tires and to run them what, a couple races and not using the rest of the year. Which
right,
doesn't make sense.
Your dad was saying that they don't because that would kill the touring cars. They have very tough to make. I guess that's what he was talking about. I don't know. It's just me. I just think that it'd be nice if everybody ran the same tire. I'm kind of with you, Austin, on that. All right. Here in just a moment, we're going to have last night's winner from Lakeside Speedway. Blake Hahn's going to join us here on the show. A little bit later in the show, we're going to have Steve Post on. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on in Winged Nation and MRN. We'll talk to him about everything that's going on over there at MRN and Winged Nation here in just a little bit. But we want to get on the winner of last night's race at Lakeside Speedway. What a fantastic win last night for Blake Hahn. He joins us next year on Mostly Motorsports. Mostly Motorsports is brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must-play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. We want to remind everybody about what's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. It's the tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. They've got a great exhibit going on up there right now. Plenty of cars to look at, videos, driver uniforms, helmet, memorabilia. There's a lot on display right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And I'm telling you, it's the best time to go up there right now to check out this great tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. It closed back in the day. As I mentioned, I used to go to Ascot Park back in the late 70s and early 80s. It was a great venue. And while you're up there, what you need to do is you need to buy a raffle ticket for the 2022 XXX Chassis 410 Sprint Car that they're going to be raffling off up there on Friday, December 16th. And if you can't make it up to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, if you're not going to go up there for the races at the Knoxville Nationals, and you're not going to go up there during the year, you can always do it online at SprintCarRaffle.com. That's SprintCarRaffle.com. And while you're up there, I had a chance to see the new IMSA GTLM Championship Edition C8R Corvette that they will be giving away on August 13th during the Knoxville Nationals. That's Saturday. It is a beautiful car, folks. Let me tell you something. This is one of 1,000 of these cars that were made, and I'm telling you, folks, this is a real race car. Again, it's only one of 1,000. It's a limited production Corvette. It's an IMSA GT LM Championship Edition C8R Corvette. And again, if you can't make it up there in person to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, if you're not going to go to Knoxville this year, you can always do it online at Corvette, the letter C, the number 8, the letter R, contest.com. That's Corvette C8R contest.com. If you would like to buy a raffle ticket for this great limited edition championship Corvette that they're going to be giving away up there. And don't forget, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week as well. Joining us now on the show is last night's winner with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour at Lakeside Speedway. Wins it on the final lap. Blake Hahn joins us now on the show. Blake, how you doing, bud?
Oh, pretty good. How you guys?
I'm doing really well. Not near as well as you. Man, that was a fantastic finish last night. I got to start off by saying at the start of that race, you started third, but you kind of fell back. I don't know if it was fifth or sixth, and then you had to work your way up through the field. Take me through that moment.
Yeah, after watching the replay, yeah, I got a pretty decent start, but let a couple guys on there get by, and we dropped back to sixth. And I knew with the modified running right before us, I knew they had a little bit of moisture up, but I wasn't sure how long it was going to last. So I kind of messed around on the for probably longer than I ought to, but four laps, and eventually got going up on the top, and then got my momentum up in one and two, and I think that's really what got us going. And then had a caution and was able to work by Jordan after the caution, and pretty much green after that, and knocked off some good laps. And you know, once we got the lap traffic, it made it better for us. I knew I had a pretty good car early, but it seemed like as the race went on, my car just got better and better. And as the track widened up and blew off, it just you know, I was really working the bottom in three and four really well. And I think there's a lot of guys that were bottom, just not really sticking the exit. And I think that's where I was making most of my hay up at, was off of four, where I was just making sure to hit the moisture off there and have all the way across the track. And about halfway through the feature, I started diamond in one and two, and you know, stretching that back straightaway out and making it a little longer. And I think that's really where I started picking up some momentum too. So between being able to really hit the bottom in three and four and make that back straightaway longer off the two, I was able to really pick up some time. And with some lap traffic, I was able to get by some people. And you know, with about five to go, we were chasing down Covington, and early on in the night or in the feature, he was fast and just pulling away from everybody, but had got up into some lap traffic and kind of got him messed up there for a bit. And you know, I got in some stuff too with racing with some guys, and then Gunnar Ramey was trying to pull off the track last night right in front of me, and I had a second where I thought we were going to have a accident, and we got around him, and thankfully everything was good. And you know, I was just thankful that we were in some lap traffic. I think if it was open track, it may be a little different story. But, you know, really, we had a good car. Dalton had it fine-tuned really well. We were able to just hit our marks and able to sneak by Covington there at the last lap.
Were you a little surprised that you caught Matt on that last lap? Because you were back there quite a ways.
You know, with like three or four to go, I had a little bit away from him. And I look up, and I just got by the last lap car I needed to get by to get to him, but he had already had a straightaway on me, so I wasn't real confident we were going to be able to get him. But I just made sure I hit my marks, and I think that the diamond in one and two really was making it up where I could get some really good speed down the back straightaway and gain some speed. And you know, it came to the white flag lap, and we were slowly closing in on him there, and he was behind the lap car, so I just made sure drive it in there hard in one and two and hit my marks. And you know, down the back straightaway, he saw a two, and I, man, this is it. This is a chance. So, got a really good run down straightaway. And like I said, I've been running the bottom in three and four, really on the bottom on it. So I knew as long as he didn't run on the tires, I had a good chance to get by him, because I felt so fast at three and four, as long as I could hit my, He went to hit the bottom and just left just enough room for me just to car with, and went down there and it was great. You know, I mean, everything was awesome and able to get a good run off of four and get him.
There was a little patch probably about 3 or 4 foot wide that you kept getting your right rear on when you exited turn four. Not many people were able to hit that as often as you were. And again, that's where pay dirt was, right? I mean, if you think about it, let me ask you about down in turn one. When you were trying to go above that hole, did you accidentally find that diamond, or did you strategically make that happen?
Well, in the heat race, we were doing it a bit. About the first four laps of the heat race, we were having to drive through the hole, and then eventually it moved up just enough where we could go getting into one. And I kind of diamonded a little bit, just came down the track, really just cushion, and felt like I carried some more speed. So in my head, I knew that it was working early on. And one time in the A feature, I really barely into one, and the car just got a little bit sideways, so rather than trying to fight the car, I just kind of let it go where it wanted to and drove down the track and really gained some speed on the lap in front of me. And like, man, if I can do that even better and keep doing that, I can really make up some speed here. And at first, yeah, I think maybe an accident, but I knew that was a good line in the heat race, so it was something that we could have done.
Yeah, it to me, when I first saw that track early in the night, I thought it was going to blow off, and I really thought it was going to dry out and it was going to be really slick. Did you feel that when you looked at the track early in the night? Did you think that was going to happen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think anybody who looked at the track early on would say that. I think it's something that they do with the track, and they like to keep the center of it pretty smooth. They don't like to tilt up a lot. So to the eye, it looks like that's probably going to be the spot that blows off and, you know, eventually takes rubber first. But I think with the cars we have, like the modifieds and the street stocks we were running with, I think it really helps rip up a little bit. So obviously they know what they're doing, and, you know, to have that big and have that many, to have a top lane and a bottom, or being able to diamond it like last night, it just really good. But they figured out there, and you know, obviously, like you said, at glance you think it's probably going to not be a good racing, but man, it was really good there at the end.
Yeah, no doubt. You are the current track record holder at Lakeside Speedway. You ran a 15:02 last night. I know you weren't happy when you first went out there with your time, but you picked it up almost 3/4 of a second when you came back out for qualifying. You have to be happy with your effort there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I actually didn't know we'd said track record until after, and we were looking at the replay, checking out the time. We knew we had a good lap time, and we knew we were quick time of everybody, and to be able to have the track record there. And we actually picked up track record about a month ago at Waukini too. So that's something that's really good to have. You know, obviously it can be beat at any time, but just to be able to say we now is really cool. And honestly, I consider Lakeside one of my more favorite big tracks to go to. It's just one of the tracks that I really enjoy going to, and it seems like every time we're here, there's some good racing.
Man, you've had a little bit of string of bad luck here. You got into the wall and you flipped up there at US 36. How does a driver recover from that mentally? You just shake that off and you just got to look forward. Is that how you go about it? Is that how you handle it all, Blake?
Yeah, pretty much. You know, Darren Pittman said it best. You know, when he won his championship, he says you can't really sit there and dwindle on a bad night. You just got to, you know, down and focus and see what you did and go to the next night and just keep on along. And you can't just sit back and think about all the bad nights you had. And, you know, obviously too many mistakes on my part this year have put us kind of behind, in my opinion. I feel like the car deserves a lot better results than we've had. I feel there's probably a handful of races that could have been won if I didn't make mistakes on my end. And so I feel like good to be able to pick, and I feel like I owe it to our team with how much speed we've had. It's been coming. You know, we had really good speed at Caney and Wichita and US 36 too, and just unfortunately just wasn't our night then. And you know, last night we just everything was flowing good. We were confident going into the night, and you know, anytime you can come in confident, it seems like everything works itself out.
I think that driving suit that you wore last night has a little bit of luck to it. doesn't it? You've won a lot of races in that driving suit.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't consider myself a superstitious person. Yeah, I definitely think something to it. It's one of those deals. It seems every time we wear it, there's something to it. You know, there's last night was typically in drivers meet to crack a Red Bull and drink a Red Bull when the night starts. And last night we didn't have one, and I felt out of place, and we ended up having a great night. So I may have started another superstition there too.
Right, right. Listen, Wayne has been a fierce competitor this year, and now Tim Crawley is in the mix of this thing. You're 9 points ahead of Wayne Johnson last night. You were 19 points behind going into last night. Now you've got a 9-point lead, and Tim Crawley's 48 points behind. It looks like there's going to be a nice three-team battle between Crawley, Johnson, and yourself for the championship, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, and that just honestly, you say it like that, it just sounds crazy because those are the guys that grew up watching race, and I look up to Tim and how hard he works and how good of a driver he is, and you know, being able to pick up ASCS championship and you know, Wayne, obviously, experienced guy, able to round and do a lot of racing. It's just crazy that we're racing with those guys for a championship. But, I think, you know, Wayne's obviously been the one to beat all year. And we've been doing the best we can. And, you know, this late season burst that Tim's put out, it's really burst him into third. And I think, like you said, it kind of separates us from the rest. And, you know, I think it'll be kind of like last year where it's going to come down to the last few races.
Yeah. Do you think last, and I hate to talk about this with you personally, but do you think last night the temperatures, the tire situation that we have, the 360 Nationals coming up, do you think that's why we only had 20 cars last night? Because do you think that there's a little bit of a conflict on the amount of cars because people are preparing their cars for the 360 Nationals and they don't want to tear them up before the 360 Nationals? Do you think that there's a little play there as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's probably more of the Nationals issue rather than the tire issue. You know, racers are going to race if they race. It doesn't matter how hot it is or any of that stuff. So I think mainly, you know, for the guys that don't run for points, they look forward to the 360s all year long and to have to go to that race and have the best looking car, be as prepared as possible. So I think that's just a night before or two nights before is I'm kind of pushing it for the guys that you know, really are looking forward to the 360s, and you know, a lot of guys that have to travel more than 4 or 5 hours just probably aren't going to come down here. And you know, it's unfortunate because Lakeside is on track, like I said, and they do a really good job, give us back when we come here. I feel like they deserve a little better car count than that, but I think maybe just better planning maybe, or just talking and moving around, maybe do some better work for that.
Yeah. So you're a new father. How are you enjoying being a daddy?
Oh, I love it. There's nothing better, honestly. And she's been able to go to the shop with us every day, and I'm going to the with us all the time. She's been to, I think, 18 different racetracks already, so it doesn't get any better than that in my book.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Blake, we appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports today. Congratulations on the win last night. Good luck to you up at the ASCS 360 Nationals that's going to take place this week up at Knoxville. How do you feel going into the Nationals? Do you feel confident?
Oh, yeah. We had a really the last couple of years, and it seems like every year we get better. We've got a good notebook to lean on after last year, and, you know, had some good in the main last year, so feel like we have a good chance. Just got to get a good qualifying lap. I think that's really where your night starts in qualifying. So if we can just go down there and set a good lap, and I think we'll just fall into our plate.
It seems like you've been rolling the bottom a lot better the last couple of years up at Knoxville.
Yeah, with the 360s, it just seems like that's where you have to be. Seems like that's this way around, and that's where all the fast guys are. So we've been kind of focusing on that and kind of to adjust our setup accordingly and just get as good as we can be down there and just try to be as fast as possible.
All right, Blake. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today. We appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, guys, and hopefully we'll see you up in Knoxville.
We'll see you there, bud. All right, we'll talk to you later. There's Blake Kahn joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. We're going to take a break. When we come back, the postman, Steve Post, joins us right here on Mostly Motorsports.
Yeah. You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, and make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is twin brother from a different mother, Steve Post. The Postman joins us now. Steve, how you doing, brother?
I am fantastic, but I'm getting ready to jump in the car and go to North Wilkesboro. So a phrase I never thought I would say. And so all is well here in the Carolinas, that's for sure.
How about old Ryan Newman last night? He did a hell of a job, didn't he?
Yeah, really did. He had that modified roll, and that's a really good car that Gary Putnam puts out there for him. And Newman, you know, parked it on the front stretch, if you will, and just all part of a really, really cool night up there. And good to see that. Good to see the modifieds, which is a fantastic division. Really a resurgence here on the East Coast of the modifieds. And I think last night was another step. The fact that North Wilkesboro opened with those cars, I think there's a lot of good that came out of last night. And yeah, Ryan Newman, picked up a win in SRX earlier this year, and now picks up a modified win of pretty good significance as well.
Do you know what the car count was for the modifieds last night?
They had limited it to 33 cars because of tires. And so, yeah, so 33 cars is what was limited. And field was outstanding in that you had Newman in the field. The Southern Modified draw has really been good. You know, guys like Burt Myers and Brandon Ward and right. and Jason Myers and guys like that. And then you had some Northern guys with Jimmy Blewett in the field. Matt Hirschman was in the field. Matt was not in the field. I thought he was. Yeah, Matt was in the field. And then you had Ryan Preece and Ryan Newman and Bobby Labonte. So it was a great, great mix of North, South, and Cup guys, and a little bit of everything in between. It was really a fascinating list of drivers for sure.
Steve, let me ask you this: is it going to make you sick when they tear the pavement off of that racetrack?
Well, yes. I mean, yes and no. I mean, they're going to run races in October on dirt.
I know
so
it.
I love that.
Yeah.
So I love that. But then can we put down the old pavement again?
Right.
You know, that's my problem with it is I'm great with the way the surface is now, and I can't wait. They're going to run 125 laps late model stock race later this year, and I can't imagine what that's going to be like. So I love where we're at with it. And as a dirt track guy, I love that I'm going to go to North Wilkesboro, the dirt track, the first week of October and see dirt cars up there. So I love that. I don't love the next step because we're going to new pavement down on the place. But but it's all part of the resurgence of North Wilkesboro, and it's certainly better dilemmas than what we thought we would have up there as a vacant piece of property. It's good to see it back, and stay tuned. Who knows what's going to happen with it?
You know, it says a lot about the racetrack when you see the grandstands on the front straightaway nearly packed, right? I mean, I don't know how many fans were there last night. I don't know how many seats are in that front grandstand like that. But there was a huge amount of people there last night. People love North Wilkesboro, don't they?
Well, yeah, and it was a Tuesday night, too, by the way. That's pretty impressive as well.
Yeah.
Here's where I think we're at with this. I think that, we everybody bemoaned when North Wilkesboro and Rockingham went away, okay? And then everyone celebrated when Rockingham came back with the Truck Series and 26,000 people went to the first race.
Right.
So, great. Okay, we're all back. Well, the problem of it is the second truck race, 12,000 people went to it.
Mm.
So, I hope, and I don't know if we have, well, stay tuned. I hope we learned that one good crowd doesn't put Cup or Xfinity or truck races back at your beloved racetrack.
Right.
This has to sustain and it has to keep going. But to your question, yeah, it was great. And I think everyone does love North Wilkesboro. I think North Wilkesboro is far more conducive to local racing than Rockingham was, being a mile high bank track. I think that very few divisions can go there. I think North Wilkesboro can carve out a really, really neat spot in the local late model stock, modify, maybe super late model ranks. I think it can really do a nice job with it. And, with extended success, maybe we see a truck race or the all-star race or something like that there. But so yes, your answer, the question is, it was great seeing the place filled up last night, and I'm fairly confident it'll be filled up tonight. And then at the end of the month, Dale Jr. is running a late model stock car there.
They'll turn people
away for that one.
Yeah.
What's it look like next year? What's it look like the year after that? I hope it's the same, because that shows a real deep passion for North Wilkesboro, and I sense it's going to be there. But stay tuned. We'll see what happens.
Austin and I talk all the time about what NASCAR needs, and we think NASCAR needs more short track racing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do, and I think that it's a challenge, because with NASCAR you're dealing with such a massive ship and with massive companies that own the facilities that want their dates, have contracts for their dates. But I do, I will be surprised if in the next 3 or 4 years, there's not a cup race of some form, and maybe it's the All-Star race.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a South Boston or something like that cup series race. I sense even those in the power. I think the fans really, really want it.
Right.
I think the teams, what they saw we did at the Coliseum in L.A. is like, shoot, if we can run on that Coliseum, we can run at a good half-mile short track. We
right.
can do that with no problem. I think it's just getting all of the entities and beings and bodies and major businesses get comfortable with the fact that I'm willing to give up a date at my track with 40,000 seats to take this date at a track with 10,000 seats.
Yeah.
I think we will get there because I think TV money means so much more, and there's so many other variables to it. I think it's a process that's going to take some time, but I think we will see that. And whether it's an annual event or whether it's a rotating, you know, we're at South Boston and then we're at the Nashville Fairgrounds, and who knows, maybe North Wilkesboro is in that mix, or maybe Irwindale's in that mix, or
mm-hmm.
maybe Evergreen Speedway up in Washington's in that mix. You know, I mean, I think that Berlin could host a race today. It's that facility is spectacular up there. And I think we do get there. I think it's just a big moving vessel NASCAR is, and it's tough to make quick decisions and things happen in a hurry.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about the Brickyard last weekend, Steve. To be honest with you, I was a little disappointed in the crowd there, to be honest with you. Those grandstands are so massive, though. When you have 60,000 people at a race that holds 250,000 people, the seats, it looks like it just doesn't look very good on television, you know, to me.
Yeah, and I don't know what the answer to that is.
Yeah.
You know, we're at the stage where the last oval race, I mean, all the photos of empty seats, everyone's like, we've got to do something. Let's run it on the road course. All right. Well, here we are on the road course.
Nothing.
And it's the same scenario.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I just don't know. It is a difficult place. It is going to be a challenge no matter what they do with the optics of it, because you are spot on. You know, I mean, do we just need to limit the crowd to the front straightaway?
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And the reality of it is you got Roger Penske at the helm. So someone smarter than you and I
right.
is trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the answer is either. And so, you know, I mean, I'll be fascinated to see. One of the ideas floated was, you know, the road course next year and the oval the year after that and a back and forth. And, you know, I think Indy is important to be at, but, you know, it just is really a big challenge with how that looks. It really, truly is. And the problem is, like I said, they need the stands in May, you know, and so consequently, you're not going to remove them. But I don't know. I don't know what the answer is on that one. That is another one of those monster challenges I think everyone has.
Just my opinion. I'm afraid that we're to the point where we're almost going to have to give up on the Brickyard. Me personally, that's just my opinion.
Maybe that's an option.
Yeah, that's just my opinion. I just don't think it. You know, I went there in '96 and watched the Brickyard 400, and it was packed. The grandstands were packed because it was new and people wanted to see it. But as time went on, people realized the racing wasn't that good, neither on the road course nor on the oval. And I'm just thinking that we need to maybe pump the brakes a little bit on the Brickyard. How about we go over to IRP and race over there? I think that would be a better race.
Yeah, I mean, my curiosity is what this looks like. And again, this goes to what this looks like. And you've talked about the conversations you and Austin have. What does this look like in 2 or 3 years?
Yeah.
Are we on a rotation with some places where every other year we go to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway? You know, every other year we go to this particular track, the Nashville Fairgrounds. Mm-hmm. Every other year, you know, we rotate the Nashville Fairgrounds, the Nashville Super Speedway. Every other year we kind of mix this up a little bit because, Scott, the reality of our society is everybody wants something new every week.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't have new every week.
Right.
But it's why we have a Roval at Charlotte, because someone wanted something different. You know, it's why we're going street racing in Chicago. It's why we went to the L.A. Coliseum.
Right.
And so how do you accomplish new? And 5 years ago, the NASCAR schedule was stagnant. You know, I mean, it was just, you know, I could sit down in June and plan my following year out, knowing where I'm going. So I think we're headed in the right direction. And does a series of 15 tracks rotating every other year? Does that do something? And I don't know. And I think I do think that the people running this sport right now are creative and ideas like that 5 years ago or 10 years ago were never even considered. I think that might be the option. And maybe Indy falls into that category where every third year we go run on the Brickyard and it becomes that historic Brickyard 400. And that's the must see race and the must one you have to go to. I don't know. But I think the beauty of it is I think that the folks running this show here, the NASCAR show, I think they're creative, and I think that they may look at something like that. I'm totally speculating,
right?
But I think this is not your dad's NASCAR where we run the same 38 races every year. This is wide open right now.
Yeah, boy, that was a scary deal between Kyle Larson and Ty Dillon, wasn't it?
Well, my gosh,
that was scary.
Wow, I mean that was that. We get so accustomed to these guys making the turn all the time,
mm-hmm.
that we lose the perspective of how fast they're going. You know, you get lulled into this sense until you see something like that. Remember we've had twice, I think it was at Pocono. Remember that time when Jeff Gordon lost his brakes going down into turn number one?
And pounded the wall. Yeah.
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 We lose perspective because these guys are so good and these cars are so good and they make it work every lap. And so when you have one of those moments where it doesn't work, it is an eye opener. Because I am telling you, that was a big hit. The only thing that would have been worse is if he wouldn't have had that big hit on Ty Dillon's car.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he might be at IRP before that car slows down. I mean, just a wild, wild scene, that's for sure.
Do you think there's a chance that Kyle Busch leaves Joe Gibbs Racing and goes over to Stuart Haas Racing? Do you think there's a chance that could happen?
My timeline on this, Scott, was in April we were down at Talladega and I was part of the scrum where Kyle Busch said he doesn't have anything in place with Joe Gibbs Racing. And then Bob Pockers, who does just a great job covering the sport, catches up with Coach Gibbs the next day and Coach says, we have every intention of Kyle being here. So I'm like, non-story here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here we are 4 months later and nothing's been resolved.
Right.
And Coach Gibbs has been very adamant that there's got to be sponsorship in place and there's no sponsorship in place to replace M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
They had some on the hook and those things fell through. And so I was still riding along with this thing until New Hampshire. Christopher Bell won that race in New Hampshire. And before Christopher made it to the media center, Coach was in there holding court. And Coach said, we still don't have anything. And I'm not sure where we're at with all of this. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. You know, we're sitting here, Scott, we're in August.
Right.
You know, and you have got Kyle Busch, a world-class championship-winning driver, multi-time championship-winning driver, and you have got Stuart Haas Racing, a world-class team with a potential open seat. Now, I also heard this week that there's talk that Eric Almirola and Smithfield may not go away. They may decide to come back. So, I mean,
Wow.
I had it at 99% that he was going to be with Joe Gibbs Racing in April. I have it 50-50 now. I don't know that it's Stuart Haas or if something else opens up. Here's the reality of this thing, okay? We've seen this. Does a small team look appealing when we look at what Trackhouse has been able to do this year? You know, it used to be you had to be with Penske, Hendricks, Gibbs. You know, those were the teams you needed to be with. But does a petty GMS with looking at what what college racing has done, but more importantly, what Trackhouse racing has done.
Right.
You know, and Petty GMS has Eric Jones over there in one of the cars, which Eric Jones is, you know, was brought into the sport by Kyle Busch. I don't know. Like I said, I'm at 50-50 he returns to Joe Gibbs Racing, but I don't know necessarily that means Stuart Haas either.
Do you think there's somebody was – I was listening to XM Radio the other day, and they were talking about, do you think there's any chance that Rick Hendrick would take back Kyle Busch?
I don't think he would. There are certain drivers that don't fit certain molds.
Right.
You know, I don't think Kyle Busch fits the Hendrick mold, and I don't think he fits the Penske mold. I just you know what I mean. It's buttoned up shirts. You know, buttoned up shirts. I think he fits about every. I think his talent puts him available for everything else.
Right.
But I just don't see him fitting into that mold. When we look at the type drivers Rick Hendrick has, and he's been there and he's done that. And I'm telling you, I know it was a long time ago, but when he got out of that car of tomorrow at Bristol and told the world on television what a no good piece of crap that car was.
That was the end.
I think that was the beginning of the end, and that's a big step in it. And I just don't think Rick Hendrick. I think if Rick Hendrick says to the people around him, or someone says, "What about Kyle Busch?" I think Rick Hendrick says, "Let me play you this tape at Bristol."
Right.
You know, I just don't think that's going to happen. And again, I don't think he fits that mold at Penske. Beyond that, though, I think Kyle Busch would be a welcome addition to most other teams.
Yeah, no doubt. Steve, did you get a chance to watch that Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour race last night? Did you see Blake Hahn?
Just the finish of it. I was doing summer shootout. We wrapped up the summer shootout out of Charlotte last night, our final wettest of the year. And so just saw the end of it. But, you know, and I've been to Lakeside. I've been to some of your races there. I've been to World of Outlaw races. I love getting up there. And,
right. Boy,
I am telling you, and I actually listened to the interview you had with Blake prior to me coming on here. Man, he had that car rolling at the end, and
I think
Austin, with his description of it, nailed it, that he was able to get that car about halfway through turn number one. I mean, it wasn't even turn two. He was halfway through turn one and pointed down the backstretch, and by the time he hit the midpoint of the backstretch, he just had more speed than everybody.
Yeah.
And then they got down into turn number three, and Matt, I even look at the beginning of turn number three, just immediately when Matt set the car into turn number three, it got a little bit upset.
Right.
A little bobble. So you take a little bit of a bobble, and then when he got caught in the middle coming off from the turn, it was the death knell for Matt winning that race. But I think you combine that little bit of a hop that Matt had with getting caught in the middle with just that run that Blake had, and Blake nailed turns three and four.
Yeah.
I mean, he crushed turns three and four,
I
think that was the combination that gave Blake the win.
Yeah, no doubt. Steve, what do you got coming up on Wing Nation? Again, Steve Post, his appearance is brought to you by Sage Fruit. We want to thank those guys for allowing Steve to come over here and be a part of the show. What do you got coming up on Wing Nation and MRN?
Well, Wing Nation, this week coming up on our television program, Donnie Schatz joins us.
Mm.
And Donnie Schatz has been such an interesting character. And this may be as good an interview that we've ever had with Donnie Schatz. Very frank, very open. We talked about his nieces, and we asked him, we had about a minute left at the end, about 90 seconds left at the end of the interview, and we said, all right, Donnie, you're going back to Knoxville. What's it like going to Knoxville? What's it like being a champion? Reminder, we had 90 seconds left to go, and he gave us about two and a half minutes of Knoxville gold. My producer says to me, we are over time, but this is gold. Don't stop them. You know,
right.
We'll figure out what to do with it. So we have Donnie Schatz coming up on this week's program. We recorded already our Tuesday program. We had Cole Macedo, who is just knocking it out. He's got 9 wins in Ohio. He's picked up the ride in Phil Dietz's car. So that's already on our social channels. We had him and one of our favorites, Tim Crawley. You love him. You know him. You love him. We had Tim Crawley on as well because he won the ASCS Sizzlin Summer Speed Weeks. And Tim Crawley talking about being a dad to Landon and the night he ran Landon off the racetrack and Mama and Landon and everyone else is gold. So Tim Crawley and Cole Macedo were our guests this week on Tuesday, on our show Tuesday, and Donnie Schatz is coming up this weekend.
Now, next week, are you going to have the stage for the 410 Nationals again like you normally do?
Yeah, we'll have the stage there. We'll be live, Wing Nation, presented by Sage Fruit, every night, 6 o'clock local time, right there in Knoxville. And we are lining up the guests. Matter of fact, I think we can confirm that we are going to start the show on Wednesday night with Kyle Larson is going to be our first guest. Good. So we're just going to come right out of the box, just throwing haymakers at everybody with the reigning champ of the Knoxville Nationals. My producer Hank's getting people lined up now, and we'll have live shows from Knoxville Wednesday through Saturday next week, 6 o'clock local time up there in Knoxville.
Steve, thanks for always taking the time every Wednesday here on Mostly Motorsports. We appreciate it, and we want to again thank our friends over at Sage Fruit for allowing you to come on the show every week with us here on Mostly Motorsports. Thanks again, my friend.
Good times. We appreciate it, Scott. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. We'll see you at Knoxville. There you have it. Steve Post joining us here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. Good show today. Blake Kahn, Steve Post. That was pretty good stuff right there. For Austin O'Neill, for my partner Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor saying thanks for joining us. Tomorrow I will be live from the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. I will Zoom in. Austin and Kirk will be back here at the studio working. So we can't wait to get back up there and check out the great track tribute to Ascot Park that's taking place right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, as well as the Corvette and the Sprint Car raffles. You know all about them. So get up to Knoxville, buy your raffle tickets, and say hi to Bob Baker for us, would you? Again, for Austin, for Kirk, I'm Scott. We'll see you tomorrow. Right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.